coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie is rated R.
Last night in Soho and the world's your oyster. Welcome to a new episode of Huntsville Home Video.
Quirr.
Ouch. Wow. Wow, just right out of the gate.
Boom.
Welcome to Huntsville Home Video, my friends. My name is Jack Spade. The hate monger across from me is Leanne Foster.
You bring it out of me sometimes. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Son of a bitch.
Sometimes I'm not accountable for my own actions. It's you.
I literally have no idea where that came from. I was just saying, what can I tie into last night in Soho?
Uh-huh.
And I came up with One Night in Bangkok. I don't know where my mind goes sometimes.
Doesn't the end of the movie end with a song about Soho?
Yeah.
Why didn't you use that one?
That's too easy.
You could have, yeah, sure, absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah, I don't know any other Sohos except for Ruby. That was it.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got nowhere to go.
Well, you know what? Actually, it's not bad. You know, you're thinking, you're doing more than I'm doing today.
Fair
you're thinking,
enough.
You're actually trying to do something, make things entertaining around here. I applaud your efforts.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I think we're going to set a world record for getting sidetracked on this podcast, because as of this recording, we're recording a little earlier, but last night, Marvel dropped all their fucking news about phases 5 and 6.
It's what we spent an hour talking about before we finally turned the mics on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
do it again.
I mean, literally, this is the reason this podcast was started, to get you caught up on the Marvel movies. And then we just kind of ran with it.
We ran with it. And then I was like, oh, now I get to enjoy this in real time now that I'm another 4 movies behind.
Uh huh.
Technically 5, but I'm not going to watch The Eternals.
Nor should you. What a piece of shit that was.
Right.
But by 2025, when the next Avengers movie comes out,
I should have them
you'll
down.
Have, yeah, you should be caught up.
Right.
And if nothing else, that's just what we'll do for this podcast. We're going to see fucking Ant-Man and Quantumania for the next Huntsville Home Video.
Right, right.
But yeah, very excited about
all of
the Marvel stuff coming out. And you have got to be just chomping at the bit for the next Blade movie.
That's exactly what I texted you. I was like, fucking Blade is back, baby.
Check out a review of all the Marvel stuff over at HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com, and especially our review of Wesley Snipes Blade.
Again, it wasn't terrible. I don't fucks with the vampires, but I'm going to watch it, and hopefully they do a good job with it. I'm always looking. I will look for something that will improve my mood upon the vampires.
Okay.
You know?
We've found a werewolf movie that you've enjoyed. We have found a vampire movie that you enjoyed with From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, I liked that one. Also, there was a series, I think it's on Netflix, that BBC did. It was like a mini series. There were like 3 episodes. And did you watch that?
Oh,
it's
that Dracula one?
I liked that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially the first part. The first part was really good.
So, I mean, occasionally Leanne fucks with a vampire.
I'll dabble. I'll dibble dabble with the vamps.
But we ain't here to talk about all that today.
There are no vampires in what we're going to talk about today.
None. None whatsoever.
No.
Today we are talking about a movie that's a little more current. We spent the last month in the blockbuster decade of the 90s,
mm-hmm.
moving things up to current events. A movie which came out last year. I think it had a small theatrical run. This was still kind of pre or post COVID.
Right.
Living in that world, a lot of stuff just came straight to streaming. I think this was one of them. This is actually a movie that I would have liked to have seen in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good look. I appreciate it. Maybe we'll talk about more of that when we get into it. Today, we are talking about Last Night in Soho.
You just happened to come across this recently, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So I actually, for the first time, saw this about a week before I suggested it to you.
Okay.
In fact, while I was watching it, I was about to text you and say, hey, you should check this shit out. It's pretty good. But I didn't send that text because I know the list of things that I have told you to watch is lengthy.
It is.
Yeah.
and we're not talking about the list for the podcast. We're talking about just little side quests that I can take that are off the main story.
Yeah.
And I've done a few of them.
And me being the dick that I am, you'll text me every now and again and be like, oh, I watched this and it was really good. And I'm like, oh, how's The Shield?
Yes. In fact, now I don't even want to text you anytime I've seen something, whether I've even watched a trailer or not. It's like, oh, great. How's The Shield?
Yeah, that's my toxic trait.
Which is deserving.
Yeah.
Which season am I in? Am I in 4? I think I'm at the beginning of 4.
Are you at the beginning of 4?
I think I'm like 3 episodes into 4.
Okay.
Right?
4 is a banger.
Or is it 3? I think, I feel like you've said that.
4 is really good. 5 is the best.
Five
is the best season of anything on television ever.
How many seasons do I have?
7.
7.
Okay. And 6 is a short season.
Okay.
But
I'll get there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, eventually. But again, we're not here to talk about what you should or should not watch. We're talking about something that you did watch.
Yes.
For this podcast. We're going to talk about it today. The movie Last Night in Soho. Let's just hop into the deep or shallow end, depending on where you want to start. And let us know, Leanne Foster, what did you think of Last Night in Soho?
Well, you didn't oversell this movie. It was really good.
Fuck you.
This movie was great. It was everything that you said it was. It's a really good take on a ghost mystery thriller. And like it looks like the first thing you told me about it was it looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a really well done movie. And it is. The shots are great. I like the use of mirrors and reflections and how they really portray things on screen. And like that 60s era is really beautiful and
yeah.
It's vibrant at times, but it's also still very dark and grungy also as well. And I'm kind of scared of London now, to be honest. I was never scared of London. And now
no?
I'm like, fuck man, London is a wasteland.
Everyone's got their sketchy areas.
That's true. Every city's got some shit.
Yeah. If you ever come visit sunny Huntsville, Alabama, stay out of North Huntsville.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, peachy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what part of Huntsville I'm in. I don't think I'm in North Huntsville
because
I feel like everything's fine where I'm at.
No, you're good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
maybe that sketchy part of London was basically like the equivalent to North Huntsville.
Sure. Yeah. It was a lot. But no, it was a really good movie. I think it's like 2 hours long. It didn't feel 2 hours long.
No.
Like it's a good story. It's good pacing. I like the take. It was a good little mystery. It had me hooked from the beginning. So
yeah.
I was a big fan of this one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright, the dude behind this one, he, of course, did Shaun of the Dead, which I think is probably the only Edgar Wright movie that you've seen.
Maybe. I know. I do know that I've seen that one.
Okay. Edgar Wright makes a damn good movie. His track record with me is pretty solid.
It's pretty. This one's pretty.
Hot Fuzz, I think, is another Edgar Wright movie that you would like. That's kind of a send up of all the big action movies. There's a lot of John Woo shit in that one.
Okay. I remember that one coming out and going, I should probably watch that, but never did.
Okay.
And yeah, none of these look familiar. Wait, did he do an Ant-Man?
He almost did Ant-Man. Remember
okay.
We talked about that? He was on board for Ant-Man.
No, I don't remember.
And then that figures. He wanted to go in a little different direction than Marvel wanted him to go, and so ultimately he left the project due to creative differences. The old creative differences
it's
card.
It's the equivalent of irreconcilable differences, isn't it not?
Like, I just don't see this relationship going anywhere.
Irreconcilable, irreconcilable. That's a hard word for me.
It's all good.
It's a rough one.
It's a tough one. But yeah, I really dug this movie. Just watching it for the first time, and the biggest takeaway for me was just how visually striking it was. Like, I would watch this movie even with the sound off. The sound, like the music and everything that accompanies it definitely heightens it.
Right.
But fuck, this is a good looking movie. And some of the camera tricks that they pulled, you know, I'm a sucker for camera tricks.
Right.
Some of those were all done in frame, meaning that there wasn't any CG.
Really?
That was just the two actresses acting off each other.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. That dance sequence, we'll talk about that a little bit later,
uh-huh.
But that was when one of the characters like pops out of frame and the other one comes in, that was all one simultaneous.
No shit. I want to know all the mechanics of that.
I want to know all the mechanics. I'm like, how the fuck did you do that?
I'm trying to think back because I've watched it once. I'm trying to think back to that, and I know exactly the scene you're talking about, and I would love to see a breakdown of that. That's fantastic. Because, yeah, you have a lot of blurring of lines between these two characters, and they kind of like it kind of starts out as a reflection in ways, and then they kind of blur into the same person.
Yeah,
like it's really good.
So like one of the things that they did is when the two actresses are looking at each other in the mirror,
and you
still see other people, those other people are twins. Like they were played by twins. That's how they got that effect. It's all practical.
Get out.
Yeah.
I love this even more now, and I'm gonna go home and immediately watch it again.
I after I watch the movie, because when this sequence comes up, I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? Like, that's awesome. Because I again, I'm a boner for that shit. I love the tracking shots. I love practical things.
Yeah.
And that sequence, that whole sequence, is just breathtaking. Mm-hmm. And I immediately after the movie, I immediately went back and watched that sequence again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, that's got to be. You know, they might have juiced that a little bit with CGI. Like they could, okay, yeah, this and that. And then as I started reading on it, yeah, twins. They put twins. They had the actresses just rehearsed and practiced off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just insane.
That's filmmaking.
That's movie magic,
That's
baby.
Movie magic. Like again, we appreciate CGI for what it is, but God, when you can do that manually, that's fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Good job, Edgar.
Right, yeah.
Let's applaud him for today.
Good job.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your works thus far and and really not dipping in quality in any of your fucking projects. Like, everything that he's done, I'm like, that's fucking good. I like this. And
I know where I've seen this guy. He was in that Eli Roth show, I think. Didn't he interview in that show?
Oh, was he in...
was he in the horror...
What was that? Masters of Horror?
Was he?
Maybe. Maybe.
Has he done enough horror to be in that movie?
No.
Not,
well, other than like Shaun of the... I bet he was in the zombie episode.
That's what it was.
Shaun of the Dead.
Okay. Okay.
Shaun of the Dead, by the way, the thing that renewed my love for the zombie genre.
Okay.
I was kind of ho-hum on it for a while, and I love a fucking zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Shaun of the Dead, I was like, this is fucking brilliant.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Walking Dead still going.
Still,
Jesus.
Huh? I love how it's in its final season.
Right.
But yet there's like 9 spinoffs that are coming out.
I know. We have one with ridiculous pairings. And then, but now Rick's back.
Yeah. They announced that at Comic-Con this
week. Now
weekend.
It's not a movie, right? Now it's going to be a series.
Yep.
Of Rick and Michonne.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, God damn it.
You're only about 3 years too late, but whatever.
Whatever. God, what a mess.
Well, I'll tell you what wasn't a mess. Last night in Soho.
That's right. No zombies to be found.
Not really
zombies.
Some specters.
Some
ghouls, perhaps, but no zombie in sight. Mm-mm. Not this time around.
Nope.
Edgar ain't going back to that well. Maybe not now.
Not now.
But maybe.
When he does,
I'll be there for it.
It'll be a cool drink of water.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we dive in?
Water! In the well! Let's do it. We meet Ellie. Ellie's a great name for a countryside gal, is it not?
Sure is.
It is. We meet Ellie. She is a sweet old-fashioned gal who lives out in the countryside with her grand because her mama done offed herself, right? And she can see her mom from time to time. Like, the spirit is connected, so she's kind of got some connection to the other side of the world, shall we say? And she, like, listens to records. She's very wholesome, and she dreams of being a fashion designer, and she actually gets accepted into a school in London. I can't help but say it that way now. It's all because of Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You sound like you're from London. I can't help it. I'm sorry. You know how things become a part of you?
Uh-huh.
Now they're starting to become a part of me.
You pick up on them, don't
you? Right, and I don't want to be another, like, I don't want this to be like a Borat thing that gets overplayed, but I can't help it.
But that's the thing, though. You're not latching on to a cultural thing that everyone latches onto. Mm-hmm. You are latching onto a specific niche thing on a movie that you love, which is exactly what I do.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Like every little phrase, every little, you know, like how you latched onto, oh, you said you're from London. That's like a tiny little thing, just like right. how I latched onto, I mean, among other many other things, you know, like Reservoir Dogs. I love the way he says, ah, sell that shit to the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that. I like Moss's little wave off in Glengarry Glen Ross. It's those tiny little things.
Right.
Rather than, oh, this dude just sounds exact. He just regurgitates Borat lines. Mm-hmm. Like anyone can fucking do that.
Right.
But you're picking up on something small and niche and that's your jam now. You fucking run with that, Leanne Foster. You don't change for anybody.
Thanks, Jack.
No problem.
I appreciate that.
Let's talk more about London.
It was more about you than it was about me, really, but that's fine.
I was just using myself as an example,
yeah.
though, because like now you're starting to do it, and pretty soon, you're going to be talking in movie quotes, too.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a mess.
You're going to be as insufferable a prick as I am.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
So she gets an acceptance letter, and it's a bit scary because apparently her mother had a bad go at London. London didn't treat her well,
nah.
right? She couldn't kind of handle being out of the nice comfort of the simple life, right? But Ellie takes off anyway, and she goes into London, which there's a sign. I love the, as she's in the train station or wherever she's at, there's the sign, you know, tells you where to go. And on the, did you catch what it said at the bottom of the sign?
Oh,
it says it had an arrow, and it was like a way out. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
And I was like, I would have turned right back around. I just feel like that would be a sign for me, like, you need to get the fuck out of London.
I'm good.
Exactly. I was like, oh, shit. I
missed that one.
It's a forewarning. It's a very minimal forewarning because I thought, why are we showing that sign? And I saw a way out. So she misses that. And she encounters a lot of things for the first time when she gets into London. She has the creepy, threatening taxi driver who asks her why she's there. Like, oh, I might be your first stalker. You live with a bunch of girls there. Kind of follows her. Shitty roommates. They're total bitches.
Fucking trash human beings.
Fucking trash, bro. Then they take her out and it's just the worst. Fucking trash. The only one that is nice to her is a guy named John. And luckily, thank goodness, he stays wholesome the whole movie. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be some switcheroo. We do get a switcheroo, kind of, but poor old John is a sweet, sweet part of this movie. So she doesn't like where she's at. She doesn't like, it's like student housing. So she packs up and she rents a different room. It's a more old-fashioned room with an interesting landlord. And at first, it took me forever to figure out. I was like, I know that lady. I was like, who is that old woman? I know that old woman. It's fucking Lady Olenna from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Because there would be certain words she would say, and I'm like, I know who that lady is, but I wanted to figure it out, you know?
That's right.
And it's way on down in the movie. I love that I found that out and you didn't.
I didn't really catch it because by the time she became semi-regular on Game of Thrones, I watched with a passing interest.
Understandable. Completely understandable. But yeah, that was her. So,
she actually passed away not too long after this movie came out.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think this was her last movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, she went out on a good note.
Yep.
God love her. She went on a good note. Also, I put in my notes, I put, that'll be me in old age or probably in 5 years. I'm just going to be like that old lady at 35. I feel like that would be a great way to be. So she rents this room and her first night is when she has this dream of being in London in the 60s, and she is, and we were talking about how she's kind of the reflection of this girl named Sandy in the dream. And she kind of goes with Sandy throughout this very vivid dream, right? And Sandy is a wannabe singer who goes to this club and she just wants to be able to go in and sing. And then she ends up, she doesn't talk to the owner, she talks to a guy named Jack. A Doctor Who.
Motherfucking Matt Smith.
Sure. Whatever his name is.
Super cool dude. I've met him.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That, he has a look to him that I'm not sure if he's hot or not.
Right?
But somehow I find him hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, he was Doctor Who, a Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. See, I knew that. I knew there were multiples.
Yeah. And he actually came in after arguably the most popular Doctor Who, David Tennant.
Uh-huh.
So he replaced him.
I didn't watch that show, but I remember the hype when Tennant was the Doctor Who.
Uh-huh.
Because I was confused then why it would be somebody different, but then I realized that's part of the thing.
Yep. Then Matt Smith came in, and initially people were like, I don't fucking like him. Because that happens with every Doctor. Like, half the fan base is like, I don't fucking like him. And the other half is like, this is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Much like, you know, any fucking fandom.
Sure.
But I really dug Matt Smith. I thought he had a good run. I thought he had some good stories. He had, a couple just legendary banger episodes of that show. And then he was at a convention that my wife and I went to, and he was super cool. He was just, like, laid back, chill, like, appreciative of all his fans.
Nice.
It was on Rachel's birthday that we met him, and I was like, oh, hey, it's my wife's birthday. And he's like, fucking sang her happy birthday.
He sang her happy birthday?
Yeah. Not like the whole thing, but like a little, you know, oh, happy birthday to you. Like,
oh, that's so lovely. British and in song.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My God.
The British are so polite.
Oh, my God. I love it. That's why I was shocked at all the murders in London.
Right. Well, I mean, they murder you politely.
Excuse me, mate. Can I get a little stab in?
Hello. A little in and out for you.
Oh, no. Did I get your liver? My bad. Sucks, isn't it?
But what I like about Matt Smith is that after Doctor Who, he wanted to, you know, kind of branch out like any actor would.
Mm-hmm.
He had a couple indie projects and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? But then he also went like got into a couple Hollywood projects. He was in one of the last Terminator movies.
Okay.
Where he was basically the physical representation of Skynet, the AI.
Oh.
He was kind of wasted in that.
Uh-huh.
Most recently, he was the villain in Morbius, the Jared Leto vampire movie that you probably don't give a fuck because it's vampires.
No.
Everyone that has reviewed that movie has said, yo, this movie sucks, but Matt Smith is fucking awesome.
Damn.
So I might have to watch it just for him.
I kind of wanted to watch it just to see how bad it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after they apparently like re-released it. Didn't they do some shit where they re-put it out and then it did not work well?
This is how fucking clueless movie studios can be sometimes. So it became, it was so bad that meme culture latched onto it,
right,
and got it trending.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie studio was like, oh, hey, it's trending. Let's re-release it. They must love it.
Oh,
no. And Jared Leto even got in on it. Like, there's a video of him where he's like reading a script and the camera person's like, oh, hey, what you reading? He's like, oh, nothing. And he pulls the script away, but then they get a shot of it and it said Morbius 2, it's Morbin time.
I appreciate that so much. That's the best thing that Jared Leto's ever done.
Yeah. Other than getting his face pounded in by Edward Norton in Fight Club, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like some 30 Seconds to Mars, though. A little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it got old after a little bit, though.
Express yourself. That's what it's all about. It's all about expression. That's what he told a dude I used to work with when he 30 Seconds of Mars came to town and that we got a radio interview. And he's like, it's all about expression, man. Jeez. 30 Seconds of Mars is all about expressing myself and in turn expressing yourself. And I was like, cool.
Oh, no.
Cool.
Well, him and that black hair did it for me when I was in my little bit of an emo phase. So you have to excuse me. I hit that at a different time than you did.
That's
that
fair.
Was before I had a brain. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
And I was like, oh, these people fucking suck, bro.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But last night in Soho. Matt Smith. Dude's fucking great.
Dude's great. And so he's not great in this movie. He's going to be a really bad guy.
I mean, now, he is great, but great at being a piece of shit.
Great at being a piece of shit, which, you know, he's like all like selling the dream or whatever. He thinks that she's like, he makes her dance with him to like as an audition, mm-hmm, or whatever, right? Even though she wants to be a singer, but then she's going to go out and dance. And then this is the scene where is this the scene you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So tell us about the choreography or whatever.
So,
that they do.
From what I read, there are only two shots in this whole sequence that are not practical. Everything else was choreographed.
Wow.
So within this scene, you have Ellie, who is basically living the dream kind of vicariously through Sandy.
Right.
And so at one point, the camera primarily focuses on Matt Smith, and he's dancing with Sandy, and they're doing their little moves, and you know, he'll twist her and turn her, and Sandy will go off frame, and then when she comes back, it's L.
Yes.
And they do this a couple times. And the camera follows them as they move to different shots and different locations of the dance club. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, you know, Sandy is looking in a mirror and she sees Ellie looking at her,
right?
You know, and this is where like the twins were used. So like, I think it's like the bartenders or whatever, you see them in the frame, and it's twins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck yeah, that's genius.
God.
Yeah, the whole sequence, just absolutely breathtaking. Mm-hmm. If you're just watching that from a technical level,
yeah,
trying to figure that out, incredible.
That is amazing.
I could not imagine the level of rehearsal and timing that has to go down for something like that.
Right.
You know, not only is it incredibly difficult for the two actresses, but then there's Matt Smith in the middle.
Right.
Just trying to, you know, like swing one, catch the other. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Fucking, I was already on board with this movie at this point, but then when I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be fucking good. It's going to be hard to fuck this up.
Right. And luckily they did not.
No.
No. And also just the aesthetics of the club and all that. I really dig that, too.
Yeah, very, because all this dream stuff is taking place in the 60s.
Yeah, mid to late 60s.
And that 60s vibe is very, you know, even though it's London and there are some darker parts, everything is very vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's darkly lit, it's still very vibrant.
Exactly.
A lot of neon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. Very James Bondian type aesthetics in this movie.
Absolutely. So we have that scene, and the next day she realizes that, like, because it's almost like it's a dream, but it's like they almost like have this beautiful little romance in the time of the dream. Like he kind of sweeps her off her feet, right? They do this dance, and he seems like he's going to be just such an amazing person. And then the next day, when she wakes up, when Ellie wakes up, she can carry things over like a hickey.
Yep.
Jack left a hickey on Sandy, which then in turn was on Ellie. So we have that. It's like, oh, shit, where are we going to go with this? So this time period in the 60s, there's like a montage of her having these dreams every night, like a continuation of the story. She can't do anything with John because she's going to go home so that she can go to bed so she can have this dream. She's like living this life, right, in her dreams.
And I don't know how this struck you, but that to me, if I had that ability, it's like, hey, Jack, you want to come out? You want to do this thing? I'm like, nope. I want to go home and sleep and dream of this shit in the 60s.
Yep.
That's who I want to be at this point in my life.
Right. Anything would be more fun than what I got going on now. So, yeah. Just go and sleep.
If I could have a murder mystery in my sleep, fucking sign me up.
Shit, yeah. I mean, things go a little awry. I mean, they get a little scary as we go on in the movie. But if we could just dream it, that'd be great.
Yeah, and you know what? Fuck it. Bring it into the real world. I'm here for it. I'm bored as shit. I need some spice.
God, it would be fun to have a murder mystery on our hands, would it not?
Right.
Oh, my God. I'd try to help you.
I appreciate it.
I'd be the one friend, because I'm the gullible one, but I would be the one friend that you could come to, and I would help you on your murder mystery, on your dream mystery.
Girl, same.
Thank you.
Holler at me. I'll be the dude that gets gut stabbed for you.
Oh, that's precious. Yeah. Thanks, man.
No problem.
I'm going to try to do it without getting stabbed.
Okay.
If I help you, but if I just have to do it, then I just have to.
That's legit.
You know?
Legit.
So she's dreaming every night. She's like really looking forward to this. And then it starts to really inspire her. So she loves the 60s. And now it's kind of in her designs at school. She cuts and dyes her hair to kind of match Sandy. She starts to wear vintage clothes, which vintage is now very, very expensive, as we all know.
Uh-huh.
So she's got to get a job. So she applies for a job at a bar, and she encounters an old man that we will assume is Jack as an older guy.
Motherfucking Terrence Stamp.
Do I know him?
Possibly. Did you ever watch the old Superman movies?
No.
He was the villain in Superman 2. He was Zod. So like if you've ever heard the phrase, because I know they use it in Kevin Smith movies and they use it in other pop culture shit. If you've ever heard the phrase kneel before Zod.
Yes.
That is who Terrence Stamp plays in Superman 2.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right.
And also just a great fucking actor. Like,
he commands the screen in this movie. I mean, yes. I don't know him from anywhere else, obviously, but he fucking commands. He's got a fantastic look to him.
Literally everything I've ever seen him in, that level of commanding presence.
Fantastic.
He's awesome. I love Terrence Stamp.
Okay.
And I didn't know he was in this, so when he showed up, when he was at the bar, I'm like, just kicked back in my chair. I was like, oh, fucking Terrence Stamp. Hell yeah. Ain't fucking this up.
I need to watch more movies with you, because so far, the only one that I watched with you was Endgame. Is that not
Elvis.
Correct? Elvis. Endgame and Elvis, but we were in a theater for Elvis. So
Dr. Sleep.
Yep. Was that the one where I was in the row behind everybody, or was that Star Wars? That was Star Wars.
We've seen more movies again. Yeah.
We've seen more movies, but we've not had more home viewings, you know, where you can, like, say shit like that.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Yeah.
Well, as we discussed earlier with the Marvel stuff, we're going to have a whole new phase of, oh, fuck!
Oh, my God! I get to experience Marvel movies in the theater. Now, nothing will go to the level of Endgame. I understand.
No, it's possible.
But you never know. But I might get there in some way. I might get partly there.
I'll tell you this right now, my friend.
Tell me now.
You come see Wakanda Forever with me.
Okay.
That's the next one coming out in November. Uh-huh. The rumor is that they're going to tease Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom is my all-time favorite villain. I have him tattooed over half of my fucking arm.
You got the boy on your arm.
If that happens, you're going to see your boy leave his seat.
I can't wait.
I
can't wait. Last night in Soho.
Terrence Stamp, baby.
So she encounters this older guy, which she has seen him at different times, kind of throughout the movie, kind of menacingly, or, you know, or commanding, right? And he finds Ellie familiar. So that's why we think he's an older Jack, right? Because she's now cut her hair to look similar to Sandy's, right? She's wearing the vintage clothes. So now we get this very uneasy vibe, right, from him. As the dreams are going on, things are starting to blur. So it kind of makes sense that he would say she's familiar because she's done all this stuff. The lines are blurring. The dreams kind of like what's real and what's not real in the dreams is very hard to decipher. Like first Ellie is kind of a reflection and then she's more involved as time goes on. And then she kind of swaps in and out of scenes. Like we'll see their faces kind of change. And then the story becomes very unfortunate for Sandy in the dreams.
Definitely takes a turn.
It takes a turn. You see, Jack is not all that Jack that we thought he was going to be. Not talking about present company. I'm talking about in the movie.
talk about Matt Smith, not the suave, debonair gentleman that he originally portrayed himself to be.
With his Transformers sunglasses.
What? Oh, yeah. Me, that's me.
That's you.
Yeah. We're talking about Jack in the movie.
Correct.
Sans Transformer glasses.
No, he's too debonair for that shit. This one's supposed to be suave and debonair.
the one in the movie, yes.
Yeah.
Turns out he might be a bit of a pimp.
He basically is managing her, a.k.a. getting her out to all these dudes.
Would that be... So was he essentially grooming her? Was that the new buzzword that they use? Is that the word?
Yes. He bamboozled her, then groomed her. Yes, he is. He's trouble and he's gross. And he's got her going to this club every night and dancing to lure in these old dudes every night that he's pimped her out to. So Sandy is not doing very well in the dream world.
Not following those dreams of being a singer.
No, she's not. But she's following the pattern of most... Or a lot of gals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now Ellie is trying to save her or to help her, like, in these dreams, right? She's trying to get her to get out of these situations, right? Kind of rewrite history. And she can't really tell when she's awake or if she's still dreaming. And there's a scene where you think she wakes up, Ellie wakes up, and then she's surrounded. These are frightening. She's surrounded by all of these dudes that we've kind of seen poor Sandy have to go through at the club. And they've got like these blurred faces. They're kind of in black and white. They're like in gray or whatever. And they're all surrounding the bed. And it is frightening.
That was super, super creepy shot. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, their faces are blurred out. You can see some features, but like just dark, hollowed out eyes. Very, you know, very creepy, you know, supernatural looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then they kind of start to haunt her, essentially. So even when she's fully awake and she goes to a Halloween party, she does all this stuff. These faceless men are starting to haunt her. And specifically when she's at the Halloween party with John, she kind of has a moment. She freaks out. And then when she's outside, she sees Sandy and Jack together. Like everything is blurring, right? And then poor John, he's trying to be sweet to this gal. And I'm like, you are a sweet boy, but you just need to run, honey. Like, you need to go back to school and leave this white girl alone.
having had interactions with crazy bitches in my day.
Correct.
Like, at a certain point, you gotta go, you know what? I'm gonna peace out for a little bit.
Right.
John should have peaced out.
John should have, unless he was hanging. I don't know. He just needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, save yourself, buddy.
Yep.
Because eventually you're gonna get stabbed.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you this. No pussy is worth getting stabbed.
No. No, nah. I wouldn't think it would be.
Nah.
Not stabbed in the gut. No.
And we haven't even got there yet. Spoilers for, what's coming up.
But anyways.
But, you know, fucking nice guys finish last, and they get stabbed in the gut.
So John gets with her. He tries to comfort her. He tries to, you know, kind of calm her down. And they have a very sweet moment, and they decide to go back to her apartment, even though there are no boys allowed. But he goes there anyway. And then while they're laying there on the bed, they're kind of making out a bit. Ellie looks up and she sees Sandy and James. Like, it's like a reflection of the bed, mm-hmm. right? And so she sees them. He is getting aggressive with her. They're fighting. And then all of a sudden she sees Jack stab the shit out of Sandy. And it is brutal.
Isn't it, though?
There is blood, good blood action, not over the top, but I feel like a little, just enough over the top to where it's like, oh, that's good and gory.
It follows kind of the Psycho principle.
Yes.
It's you don't see as much as you think, but the way that they film it, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, fuck.
Holy
like, that's
shit.
Intense.
Right.
It's not like a slasher movie where they're just wildly slashing away and you see, you know, bits of flesh come off and this and that. It's a lot more like realistic, for lack of a better term.
You know, they always talk about how personal a stabbing is. Like when somebody's killed, it's like, oh, that's a personal crime. Somebody knew this. I mean, that was as personal as you can get. That mm-hmm. was the definition of fucking brutal, personal, whatever. So, and then also what I really love about it is that as he's stabbing her, when the knife goes, you can see, is it Ellie's eyes or Sandy's eyes, like in the reflection of the knife blade?
Yeah.
That was so well done.
Beautiful cinematography.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I loved that. Here's where I realized this is Lady Olenna. This is where I am at in the movie when I finally figured out, right? So we see that. And then I got scared because I thought, Ellie's freaking out. She's seeing something that John is not seeing, right? She's screaming. Lady Olenna downstairs is threatening to call the police. And I'm like, run! They're going to put you in jail! You're the wrong color for this scenario! I'm sorry! Get out of here!
We'll see.
But this is London.
But that's London. And London isn't as racist.
And like he ends up cutting himself on glass because glass gets broken. And so I'm like, no, you've left your DNA. I'm like, they're going to get you. You should have left. Like, I was so afraid that's where we were going to go in the movie. We did not, though.
No.
Thank goodness. No. He leaves. And then Ellie continues to break down after this because I assume that you just would.
yeah, something you probably don't just go like, huh, that was wild. No. And then go on about your day.
No. Like, you don't just go to the grocery store after that. Like, we got a problem.
Yeah. don't just go to the grocery store. Man, that's crazy. I want to go get some Pringles.
Man, I need some milk.
Get some dip of some variety. Man, that bitch got fucking cut up. Do-do-do-do-do. I'm going to the store.
I need kale for some juice. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go get some free-range eggs. I'll be back. So she continues to break down. She sees these faceless men everywhere. There's a great scene, or maybe it's later, but there's a great scene in the library where they're all lining up.
Yeah, because this is where she goes next. Now that she is starting to piece together that,
She goes to the police first,
right?
And she kind of breaks down. She gets led to the police station because she's trying to escape these men that she's seeing. They're so real to her, right? So she's running around and she ends up at a police station. And she gets in there, and she of course tells her story, and they think she is a loon.
Because why wouldn't you? And this is one of those instances, though, I've talked about this before. This is a very rare instance in a movie where you have the opportunity to take a character and be like, all right, let's look into this. Like, have someone believe the fucking psycho wackadoo, you know, and then they probably get stabbed later on. But whatever. I want to see a movie where that happens. I want to see a movie where they come and they be like, let's fucking follow this right now.
Right.
We're not going to question it at all. We're going to just jump on it.
No, because there's a female cop that kind of sympathizes with her, and she kind of believes her to an extent, but she doesn't really act upon it. She's
right.
Like, we can try to find, we'll try to look. Need a name.
Yeah.
She's like, I need a name first, and then I'll try to entertain this for you. Yeah. So that's what leads Ellie to the library. That's how she gets there. And she is trying to do her own investigation. So she's looking through the papers between that time period to see if she can find this lady's death in the papers.
On some fucking microfiche.
Right? I've always wanted to do that.
You never done that before? You didn't have to do that at Deer College?
No, I didn't have to do that. We had updated technology.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. I mean, she could have Googled all that shit, I'd imagine.
Sure.
But, yeah.
I didn't even think about that. She totally could have just typed it in.
But looking shit up on my fucking microfiche looks way more cinematic.
It's very great.
Yeah.
The first time I saw that was, I think it's in The Ring, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Is amazing. And I still find it fascinating.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I
want to copy a VHS tape just because of that movie. That's how stupid I am. Isn't that weird?
Not as weird as what I'm about to say.
Oh, fuck yes.
I would like to just randomly print out Instagram pages and then look at them on microfiche. I want to go retro with my gram.
Just like screenshots of stupid TikTok or Instagram reels.
Uh-huh.
And then just, yeah.
Yep.
I like the way it moves across the screen. You know what? I don't think it's that weird. I would do the same.
Are you here for it?
I'm here for it.
I'm going to print out a year's worth of my Facebook memories. Every time it comes up, all the stupid things that I've posted over the last like 13 years I've been on Facebook, I'm just going to print them out randomly, take them to the library. Hey, can I look at these on microfiche, please? Only to have them go, oddly, sir, this isn't the first time we've had this. Do you host a movie podcast by chance? What if film nerds want to do this shit? I'm like, actually, I take that back. I'll just go back to my phone.
I'm just going to fuck off now.
I'm going to go fuck off back to London.
London. I hate it. I say it every... No, I don't hate it.
No, you shouldn't.
I don't hate
it.
I love it. I love it. London.
Also, quick side, I love how much you love forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It was on literally yesterday, and I was like, fuck, there's only an hour left, and I
yep.
immediately turned it on. It's my boy now.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching Jason Segel movies now.
Hell
like,
yeah.
He came out with this one that's on Netflix. It's very slow, but I love it just because it's Jason Segel.
Have you watched How I Met Your Mother?
No. I've seen a lot of clips from it.
He's all up in that.
Okay, I cannot get started on How I Met Your Mother.
I know.
Because I have not finished The Shield.
That's right.
I'm also like two episodes behind on The Old Man, which if you've not watched that show with Jeff Bridges, get fucking with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it next week's the last episode? There's seven.
It was either next week or this last one was the last one. Okay. I'm about two or three behind. I wanted to spool a couple of them up.
Whew. Okay, I'm not the only one.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
My parents are ready. They were like, we need to get the season in, and then we'll watch them all together. She said, because otherwise, your dad is going to ask questions, and I'll miss everything. So we just need to be done.
Wait, what happened last week? A lot has happened since last week.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't fucking understand what's going on here. Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, last night in Soho, she's in the library trying to do her own investigation. This is when she kind of tells John everything that's happening, and he's going to help her. And I'm like, please don't be too good to be true. But he is very good.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like, one of his relatives believes in some weird shit, so he's just going to go along and try to help her. I'm like, what a sweet boy. Sweet boy.
And that's like, to a degree, the type of character I want that's just like, you're fucking crazy, but I'm going to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, man, just I want a flick where someone is just like, hey, look, you're going to find this fucking wild, but like, I have these really vivid dreams and I see this woman from the 60s and I kind of live her life and I think she was murdered and I need to fucking find out how, because I think the spirit of the dude that murdered her is trying to fucking kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, cool. Where do we start? I am on board.
The library.
Do you want me to pick up some Starbucks? Because I will.
I really hope I have a spirit latch on to me so that you can help me on my quest.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I get a quest that you can help me with.
One of these days, hopefully soon, I'll be walking out the door. My wife's going to be like, hey, where are you going? Leanne's seeing spirits. We got to fucking take care of business.
God, I hope it happens.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to like invite a demon in or anything. I really don't want it. But honestly, like whatever we got to do to get this thing to happen.
Yo, I think I'm being haunted by Pazuzu. I'm
oh,
like,
God.
I am on my way.
Pazuzu. Jesus Christ.
Call it my day job. Can't come in today. My podcast host and best friend fucking possessed by Pazuzu. What?
You heard me.
Deal with it.
Click. That would be amazing.
I would take an unexcused day for that.
That would be amazing. I love it. God, I really hope it happens to me. If it happens. And also, it's so comforting to know that if it does happen to me, I'm like, I got a buddy.
Yep.
I got a friend.
I got peeps.
I got somebody who's going to help me.
That really, at the end of the day, that is all anyone needs is this in this world, is at least one person that would follow them on some wild shit,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Walk through the gates of hell with your people.
Yep.
At the very least, you come out of it with a great story. At the worst, you fucking end up dead. But whatever, we all got to go sometime.
We got to go sometime.
No one wants to go fucking in a hospital bed, fucking tubes and hoses sticking out of you.
I
want to go fucking hunting Pazuzu.
Right. I would rather go on an adventure and die that way. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. We got a plan in place.
We got a plan in place.
I feel so good.
As it stands, I am probably going to shuffle this mortal coil by watching a movie going, oh, fuck, Terrence Stamp, and then choking to death on, like, some chips. Because if I get surprised by Terrence Stamp, if I have chips in my mouth or not, it's going to have, oh, chips.
This is a fucking peanut.
Fucking dead.
Damn it.
I'm okay with that, too.
He went out doing what he loved.
Watching movies.
Choking on a nut.
Fucking whore. I take back everything I just said.
No, that's the kind of jokes you get if we're going to go on our big adventure, okay?
Or you call me up now, you're like, I think I'm being possessed by Pazuzu. I'm on my way. Click after this Terrence Stamp movie.
After I get done with this nut.
Almond Joy got nuts. Mounds don't.
Mounds don't. Which makes no sense because you get mounds with the Almond Joy under the chocolate,
right?
Like that's a representation of mounds on the coconut. So why wouldn't mounds have the nut?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I guess because almonds in the other name.
I had a buddy one time.
I just need a moment.
You need a moment.
The other one has almonds because it has almonds in the name. That makes more sense than the actual visual representation of mounds. I'm not doing well today. Anyway, what were you going to say?
A dude I used to work with at the strip club would sometimes ask in regards to, you know, like, oh, that chick is hot. I like this dancer. I like that dancer. He's like, yeah, is she an Almond Joy or is she a mound? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you're going to get a nut with that one and not with that one.
That's a good classification of women. I hate to say that because I probably shouldn't, but it's hilarious.
Is she an Almond Joy or is she a Mounds?
And honestly, that's, you know, if we did that more often, we would save a lot of people some headaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
You absolutely do.
Yeah.
So we're at the library. And so John's going to try to help her figure out what's going on. And then we have another episode while we are in the library flipping through a lot of murder in London. And that's where we start as she's running through like the rows of books, the shelves of books. We see all these faceless men at each aisle. Like it was really well done. She ends up almost stabbing that bitch from fashion school, which I would not have had a problem with.
Nope.
It would have just messed her up on her journey to figure out the crime. But other than that, that bitch could have died.
She could have and should have.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Fuck her. I don't even remember her name now. Jocasta?
Jocasta. Yeah.
So we have this episode at the library, and she sees Sandy. So she starts chasing her down the streets of London or Soho or wherever the fuck we're at. And we see that she finally heads to work. She's kind of being led, right?
Yep.
And so she heads to work where she's got a customer waiting on her down at the bar. And it is, what was his name? Stamp?
Terrence Stamp is his real name.
Yeah. Terrence Stamp. And he is playing Eloise, which is Ellie's official name, on the jukebox, which I thought was great. He's kind of going around. I was mm-hmm. like, ah, oh, very Jack of him, right? Jack in the movie, not Jack in the podcast.
Right.
And he's waiting for her, and he starts talking about, you know, because she thinks this guy murdered Sandy.
Yeah, because we don't at this point, we don't know who this dude is.
No, we assume that he is Jack.
Uh-huh.
We assume he's an older Jack.
Old Jack, yep.
Right. And we know that Jack, according to the vision, stabbed Sandy, so she believes she is talking to Sandy's murderer, right, in the present day. And he kind of makes these statements about knowing all the girls, but Sandy was different.
Yeah,
right?
He said he looked out for all the other girls.
Yes. But then he says, I looked out for all of them, but at the end of the day, they all looked the same on the slab.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, shit. But he denies killing Sandy, almost like Sandy never died, like trying to figure out where she is. And he mentions this name, Alex. So he goes out of the bar. Ellie is chasing him. They have a confrontation. And then, boom, the old car trick.
The old, I got hit by a car in traffic.
Got hit by a car standing out in the middle of the street. What a shocker. Hits his head. He is dead. Then we find out that his name was Lynn. What was his name?
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
I don't remember. Anyways, he used to be a cop. This is not Jack.
Nah. You know how I knew it wasn't Jack?
How?
Because, well, red herring aside.
Well, that's true. Yes.
In the sequence where Jack is stabbing Sandy, he gets cut in the face. And
she scratches him really bad.
And old Jack didn't have a scar.
Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't see that.
I was like,
good thinking. That's why I need you to help me while I'm being possessed by Pazuzu.
All right.
You are the number one detective in this group.
I'm like, no facial scars here.
Something doesn't match.
Nope.
He gets hit by a car. We find out that he was a cop. And in fact, in the dream, you know, when she's going through all the dudes at the bar, there's one guy who was nice to her and was like, you really don't need to be in the middle of all this. That was him. He was a cop at the bar trying to get her out. He knew she was being pimped around, and he tried to help these women.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really the only good one.
He literally was, like, trying to help them.
Yes. Literally the only nice guy.
And then would eventually see them all on the slab.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it all makes sense. So he dies. And Ellie is like, I'm done with this. I got to get out of London. I got to go home. And so she goes then to, because the old lady said, you know, she asked for a bid deposit because she's like, a lot of people just leave in the middle of the night. They leave the house. So she tries to be nice to this old lady because the old lady's been nice to her. And she says, with John, she said, I'm going to go in. I'm going to get my stuff. I'm going to tell her that I'm leaving. If I don't come out in 15 minutes, come after me. Right. So she goes in to talk to the old lady. And it's like, oh, shit, wait a minute. This is going to go awry. There's something bad here. I'm like, thanks, music, you know?
Thanks, music, for right. being so foreboding.
And then, so we got that name Alex. And then we realize going through the mail, you know, she says, by the way, you have a letter. The old lady says, you have a letter. It's in that stack of mail. We realize the letters are being addressed to an Alexandra. And then we get the reveal that that's just one of the many names that Sandy would use when she was getting the men, you know, at the club. And that what we saw was not quite accurate because Sandy is not dead. In fact, the old lady is Sandy.
And not only is she Sandy, the spirits of all these men are fucking dudes that Sandy would lure back to the her room and fucking cack them off.
She
fucking kill them.
Fucking killed them, dude.
Shit, yeah.
She fucking stabbed and slit throats of these nasty motherfuckers.
You see that coming?
I did not.
Nope, I didn't either.
So to me, it's a double twist. So when the music kind of starts getting, you know, funky, you know, hey, something's about to happen here. And I thought, oh, maybe she is Sandy, but she's living in hiding. She got away from James.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I thought maybe. And then it takes a whole different turn that she is a fucking murderer.
Uh-huh.
And that James didn't kill her, obviously. She fucking stabbed James. Because she even makes a statement, and I thought this was so great. She was like, she made the statement about how she died 100 times in that room. Right? With all those men. And she's like, and I stabbed James 100 times. Yeah. Like, it was fucking badass. And I'm like, don't blame you, bitch.
No.
Right? And then she was killing all of these faceless men that she would lure back to the apartment. Right? So I thought, okay, well, now we're going to end there. Because that, okay, that's great. She killed these motherfuckers. I don't have a problem with it. That's fine. They deserve to die. But no, that's not the end of it. Because she's going to poison Ellie to keep her quiet so that nobody knows. Because she's lived this long being able to hide, right? Now we got to murder Ellie in her tea.
I'm like, come on now.
I'm like, we didn't have to do that. I'm like, Ellie would have kept that, I feel like.
Yeah.
Ellie would have kept that secret because I think Ellie understood, right? So she's like, she's not doing well, right? She didn't have much tea, but she had enough to where it's kind of hurt her a little bit, right?
Yeah, she's a little drugged the at
guts,
the moment.
Little drug, guts are rumbling. Like, we got some things going on. And so then we get a knock on the door, and it is John. And he comes in to try to help her because it's been 15 minutes. But unfortunately, he gets stabbed.
It's stabbing.
Right? She got back into her old habits, right?
Old habits die hard.
Right? And so he gets stabbed. We also now have a fire because some cigarette ashes got knocked into a tray of vinyl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a fire's a brewing. It's 2021 action, baby!
Yeah.
And then this shot of, so Ellie is like backing away from the old lady, from Sandy, from old Sandy. And she's backing her way up the stairs, right? And then we see the old lady, then we see a young Sandy. And, like, Sandy's, like, kind of singing as she's going up the steps with this knife, which I thought was amazing.
Such a good shot.
The stairs then become, like, glass, and so it's breaking. So, like, the glass is breaking as she's going up. Like, it was so well done.
Uh-huh.
That was so good.
Also, Anya Taylor-Joy, who plays young
yes.
Sandy, she did all her singing in this movie.
Oh, really?
That was her singing.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like her. I don't think yeah. I've watched a lot of movies with her, but like I liked her in Split when it
yep
yeah I liked her in there, and like just when I've seen her I'm like, she's different looking but she's very pretty, like
yeah.
she's not traditional Hollywood beauty, right?
She's in The Northman
okay
and
yeah
a buddy of mine went to go see that, And I've thought this about her every time I've seen her. Like, she is very striking, like, very beautiful, very pretty. But like you said, she's not, she doesn't look like anyone. She has a very unique look to her. Like, during the filming of this movie, George Miller, the guy that directed the Mad Max movies, he came to the set. He was talking with Edgar Wright. He got to meet Anya Taylor-Joy, and he's like, you're going to be young Furiosa in the next Mad Max movie. And so she is.
Nice.
Yep.
That's awesome.
They're filming that right now.
Okay.
And I'm like, hell yeah.
Okay.
I would have loved to seen another Furiosa movie with Charlize Theron. But Anya Taylor-Joy, fucking sign me up.
She has beef with Tom Hardy that was ridiculous, and I don't like it. So
also
fuck her.
All right, fair.
She's not on my good list anymore, and I used to like her.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. Nothing makes me more happy than women hating other women.
I do it too much. Damn it. I hate my own kind sometimes. Well, stop being stupid and I wouldn't hate you.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm with it.
You gotta act like a dumbass, I'm gonna treat you like a dumbass, okay?
Equal treatment, that's all you want, right?
Right, you wanna be equal, bitch. You wanna be equal, bitch. Let's be equal then, bitch.
Yeah. Woo!
Anyways, last night in Soho.
Creeping up them stairs.
So creeping up them stairs, get back into the room, like trying to get away from Sandy. And then these hands start reaching up from the floor and from the bed after Ellie, right? Like, it's all the faceless men. And they're reaching through to her and they're coming through the walls, which I thought was really great looking. And they're asking for help. Like, they haven't been haunting her to harm her, which we always get that. We always get the ghost. We don't understand their intentions.
Yep.
We think they're bad. They're not. You just think they'd learn a different way. You think they'd be able to communicate. Yeah. Like, make a sign. You know what I mean?
Get a fucking Ouija board. Fucking spell that shit out.
Right. Like, hey, man, we mean no harm. We just want to know who fucked us over. Like,
we're buried in these floorboards. We need our spirits to rest.
Yeah. Can you help? We don't want to chase you through a library. Can you just help?
Yeah. Which I also loved. So after Sandy has killed these dudes, she like literally buries them in the floorboards or whatever. That made me think about the line of dialogue earlier in the movie where old Sandy's showing Ellie the house and she's like, oh yeah, like in the summer, it really starts to like come up through the pipes and it stinks in here.
Yes.
I'm like, oh fuck.
I'm like, oh shit. I didn't think about that one.
Callback.
But I did think the one I did think about was when she said that there've been a lot of women here and it's because she gave all the men the different names.
Right.
Yeah. I caught that one, but I didn't think about the smell in the summertime. That's good.
And then this part also, I fucking love because like you said, all the spirits of the men are like begging for help.
Right.
And Ellie's just like, no.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
It was great because she got it. She got like, you're terrible motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not going to help you.
Like, your souls don't deserve to rest.
They don't.
Fuck
they
you.
Don't. You know?
I thought that was great.
And then, so we have that. She kind of understands what's going on. And then when Sandy comes in as her current, her older self, right? When Sandy comes in, that's when you can see all of the men's faces. Like then you could, they're not gray anymore. Like you can see them. I thought that was a really, she can see them.
Uh-huh.
She's like faced with all of these men. And they say like, you wanted this. They like tell her, right. Where she's seeing when like she killed him or whatever, they were like, you wanted this. Like you wanted she wanted to take them back to the apartment or whatever. And she was like, I didn't want any of this. And Ellie goes, I know. Like, you didn't want to be in that, slung into that world. Like, James really put her into that world and she lost herself.
Jack
she
put
just,
her into that world.
Sorry. What did I say?
You
I
said
don't
James.
Remember. Sorry.
Like, James is the one that tried to help her.
Yes. John.
John. John.
That's
John.
John.
No, James. Well, the Terrence Stamp character tried to help her.
Yeah. Whatever his name was. I love that Ellie's like, no, I'm not going to help. I'm not going to help you spirits. Like you're gross fucking assholes. Get the fuck out of here. So Ellie pleads with young Sandy to get out of the house. But Sandy's like, it's time for me to go. Like she's going to die. She's going to stay in the house. And she is going to die with the house because everything's burning and on fire. So she tells Ellie to save herself. And Ellie leaves. She gets to John. And then the firemen come. Woo! And I love how you kind of see, like, backing out of the room because she's up in Ellie's room and she's just sitting on the bed. And it's like the young outline of Sandy, like the silhouettes of the young Sandy. Like, I thought it was so good. And then she dies in the house. Then we cut to Ellie, Eloise. She is doing her 60s-inspired fashion show. And John's alive. He made it. He survived the gut shot. He made it. He's there with old Gran, sweet old Gran. And they're there for the fashion show. She does a great job. She's gotten all of her shit together. Fuck that damn bitch. That other, that original roommate bitch.
Yocasta.
Yeah, working.
That sounds like a bitch name.
Right? Because she crosses out her last name because she just needs to go by one name.
Right.
Yocasta.
Yeah.
Right. Fuck her. So then we're backstage at the fashion show. She sees her mom in the mirror like she normally does. And she also sees a young Sandy in the mirror, too. And which is nice. It's not a bad thing. It's like young Sandy coming to visit her. And then that is the end of the movie.
There it was.
It was really good.
Super good.
It was a good story. Again, I like a good mystery. You knew me well on this one. Mm-hmm. I like a good mystery. I like a good ghost mystery.
Yeah.
And visually, it was a very, very good movie. Some of the shots in here are just really fantastic.
Absolutely tremendous. The practicality of the way they shot that dance sequence. Even if you don't want to watch the movie, watch that sequence because it is incredible.
That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get home because now knowing that information, it's going to make it 50 times better. Yeah.
So I will say this about this film. After I watched it and then I went and rewatched that sequence and then I hopped online, I'm like, I gotta find out some more about this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
It brought me to a part of the internet that I fucking hate.
Oh God.
And that was the people that, I hate both sides of this argument. There is one contingent of people that hate this movie because it's too woke. There is another side that hates it because, oh, I get it. All men suck. I'm like, neither one of you are right.
No.
In that, like, I watched this movie and not once, like, during, and the sequence specifically that they're talking about is at the end when all the men show up, like, you wanted this, mm-hmm, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the fact that Eloise was just straight up like, no, I'm not going to fucking save you people.
Right.
You're fucking horrible people.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, oh, that's super woke. I also didn't think that was a comment on toxic masculinity.
I didn't think it either. Now, there was a period, and maybe it was when they're all clamoring her because she's running down the street. I think it's before she gets to the police. There was a point where I went, is this going to get woke? I did ask the question.
Yeah.
I was like, are we fighting men here with this one? But we didn't. It didn't in the movie. This is a thing that happens, this is a thing that happens to women at the end of the day.
Men and suck.
Men can suck. Both sides can suck.
And that's what I was going to say. Like,
but in this
also
instance,
women.
Right. Also women. But in this instance, we're telling this story.
Right.
And this happened to Sandy in the movie, like it does to a lot of women. And I don't think they went too far on it. I just feel like we didn't do the stretch of trying to make it out to be a man thing. Like, we made it a singular event thing in this movie. So I didn't have, because I'll point it out too, and I didn't have an issue with this movie at all. I do not think it was woke.
I didn't at all, and I it just fucking slays me how just fucking miserable life must be for both sides of that. For people that would walk out of this movie because it's, quote, too woke.
No.
For people that, you know, I don't want to watch it because it fucking makes men be out to be pieces of shit. Well, guess what? A lot of them are.
Those dudes were.
Those dudes exist.
Yeah.
And they fucking deserve to get fucking cut up in a fucking London apartment.
And it was so badass. And so minimal. No, I'm not, like you said, no, I'm not going to help you.
No, yeah.
Right.
But I thought that was fucking great. Also, the Jocasta in this character is an absolute heinous fucking bitch who spikes the drink of fucking Eloise.
She does.
She drugs her.
Yeah.
She fucking tries to sabotage her career. Mm-hmm. She does all these fucking things. Nothing happens to her.
She was the worst part of the movie.
Right.
Worse than the fucking killer Sandy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm
all
like,
that gaggle of bitches, they were the worst.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Fucking stab them up.
Right. Put them in a floorboard.
Cut them. Yeah, cut them bitches up.
Let them smell in the summertime. That's what's Don't give up. A fuck.
Yeah. Well, spray a little Summer's Eve, you'll be fine.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
I truly didn't think that this was woke at all. It was just a very good story.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about the fact that people would find it that
and
way.
I didn't even, for the life of me, did not think that until I did, like last night in Soho, and they started pulling up reviews, and it's like, it's fucking woke trash. I'm like, oh my God, how fucking sensitive are you, little child baby?
This was a case where it was not.
No, mm-hmm. No. And granted, those pieces of entertainment do exist. They are out there. There's so much like virtue signaling bullshit out there that even eventually I'm just like, come on, dude, really? Like, this is what you're going for?
Right.
Come on.
Even me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, like, it's out there.
Yeah.
But this wasn't it.
No.
This movie was fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
If it ever gets another theatrical release, I am absolutely going to the theater to check it out.
It would be a fun one to watch on a big screen.
Well, I do. My stance is that during the pandemic, when they started releasing movies to HBO Max and whatever streaming, I was 100% on board for it. Now, there are still movies that I want to see in the theaters, like the big event movies. Would love to go see those in theaters.
Right.
You know, overall, I am completely on board for everything coming directly to home streaming.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea. For the most part, like, I hate the public. I want to avoid them as much as I can. But that being said, this is a movie that I would absolutely love to see on a big screen. I don't even need to see it with a crowd. Just the way it was shot, the visuals of it, this is one of those you need to see it on the biggest screen possible.
Agreed. Absolutely. I would definitely see it at a screen too. Mm-hmm.
So now that you've seen this and you've seen Shaun of the Dead and you know a little teeny tiny bit more about Edgar Wright, would you be interested in going back seeing some more of his stuff?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of his stuff has been on the list for a while. The movie that was going to come up before this one was a flick that he did. Actually, the movie that he did before this one, a movie called Baby Driver.
Heard of it?
Which it's more of an action movie. It's a heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like what he does with the music in that one is going to fucking knock your socks off.
Who's in that one? That's not Gosling, is it?
No, this one has the main character. What's the actor's name? Like Ansel something?
Oh, that guy.
That dude.
Ansel, his name is. Yeah, I don't know.
He's in there. Kevin Spacey is in it before he was super problematic.
Look, man, I still appreciate a Kevin Spacey performance.
Right.
Because the dude's a fucking amazing actor, but it does sting just a tad.
Yeah.
I watched Seven the other day and I'm like, ah, damn. When he's comes to that police station.
Right, man.
And I'm like, ah.
Like, but the dude is good.
The dude is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby Driver, super good. We'll get to that eventually. But give Last Night in Soho some stars, if you would.
I will give it. What did I give the last one? Do you remember what I gave? What was the last movie we watched?
Last Action Hero.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.75.
Three.
Yeah. I'm gonna give this one. See, I don't think my rating system makes sense compared to other movies. I shouldn't do that. I really enjoyed it. It looked really good. I thought they did a fantastic job. It is not too slow. It's got good pacing. It's pretty. And I watch it and learning about it now, like with how they shot some things, I want to go back and watch it again. So I'm going to give it, since I enjoyed it so much at the time of watching, I will give it a 4.
All right.
Yeah.
If I were to spend 5 nights in Soho, I would spend 4 out of 5 of them watching this movie.
That is a stretch.
That is a stretch.
But a stretch that I like.
Uh-huh.
So I'm
Yeah, there it was.
Another applaud.
Four out of five last nights in Soho.
Yeah, baby.
I give this Airbnb a four. Stank in the summer.
But other than that, it's quaint.
But it's aight.
Yeah,
I really like this movie a lot, and I'm glad you did too.
Yeah.
I'm glad that my sense wasn't off on this one.
You've done well. You've done really well lately. I can't think of an issue we've had recently at all. So
let's see if we can fuck it up next week.
Right? I'm ready. I'm ready for destruction.
All right.
I thrive on chaos. I crave it unhealthily.
Unhealthily?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unhealthily? Isn't that a word?
Nope. It doesn't sound right.
I crave it in a not so healthy way.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And you know what? Unhealthily might very well be a word. I might be getting some texts. You got the googs right there. Check it out.
There's no underline in Word.
All right.
It's not spelled wrong.
Fuck it.
Now I'm going to Google it.
Maybe it's one of those words that they just decided, fuck it, people are stupid and they keep using it wrong, so we'll make it a word.
Unhealthily, adverb form of unhealthy, bitch.
I guess I'm the stupid ass.
Harmful to health as an adjective.
Yep.
Boom, bitch.
All right. I can
boom.
I can accept
his
my
face looked
ignorance.
Pale and unhealthy, but that's unhealthy. It says it's real.
All right, I mean that's all I needed. That is all I needed. I didn't go to Deer College. I didn't get straight A's. I am the dummy.
That was the one thing I learned.
Yep.
I don't know what a faction is, but I can tell you something is unhealthily portrayed.
That faction is doing things unhealthily.
That faction is grouping unhealthily.
What are they doing? What? What is a faction? I don't think unhealthily is a word.
Honest to God, I think I just thought it was some wrestling term. And then
No, it's not.
It was just a regular word.
Yeah, it's just a regular
and
word.
And I got overwhelmed because you were talking about wrestling.
Yes, because...
So I think that's why I didn't think of what a faction was. I was like, oh, what's a faction in wrestling? I don't know. I like to think I'm not dumb, but... Apparently I am. It sucks, man.
It sucks.
Because on paper, I'm like intelligent, but.
I mean, you have paper to show that you are.
Paper to show. It's like notarized and everything. It's got that fancy font. You know what I mean? Got that cursive.
You got it framed anywhere?
I think it's framed at home.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's in my old bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a terrible reminder of what could have been.
I was going to say, it's not currently in your office at work that is covered with, like, Slipknot and Star Wars posters.
Nope, I don't want people to see that I'm actually educated.
Oh. In the world of radio, probably a good thing. Probably a good thing.
Oh, man.
But we will be back next week. Let's, what do you want to do next week?
I think we need to change the pace.
Well, change the pace? You want to lighten things up a little bit?
As much as I love the dark... As much as I love murder, as much as I love bombs and explosions and shit like that, I say we lighten it up a bit.
Lighten it up a bit. All right.
Let's have some good laughs.
Let's have some, let's have some good laughs. Let's have some good dumb fun.
I love good dumb fun.
Okay.
Obviously.
I want you 111 episodes of this shit. Fucking you haven't figured that out. This is a movie... I'm gonna be up front with you. I don't know how you're going to take it. I think it's fucking hysterical.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's one that I've mentioned to you before. The characters of Bob and Doug McKenzie.
I remember you mentioning these. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's, what's his face?
Rick Moranis.
He shrunk the kids guy.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he shrunk the kids guy. Yes.
Which was the quintessential movie for me and that man.
You've seen that movie?
That was on repeat as a kid. Okay. I was obsessed with that movie.
All right.
I wanted to ride an ant.
Of course, Lewis Tully in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, one of the most... I wasn't going to say wholesome. A guy in Hollywood, an actor in Hollywood that I think has more integrity than most people. Rick Moranis, his wife passed away when his kids were young, and the dude just quit Hollywood.
He did.
To raise his kids.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't be lured back. He's like, I don't care. Mm-mm. I wanted to give my kids the most normal fucking life they can have without their mother. I'm like, holy shit. Like, how many people do that? Rick Moranis.
That's amazing.
Like, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Super fucking good dude. Loved him in the 80s. Loved his comedies. Loved his work. Strange Brew is the movie that we're going to be watching next week with the characters of Bob and Doug McKenzie. You're familiar with Cheech and Chong, yeah?
Yes.
This is basically like the beer version of Cheech and Chong.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I might like this.
All right.
All right.
All right. I hope so. I really hope so. It's it's weird. It's quirky. It's Canadian.
Oh, God.
Bitch.
Oh, no.
There it was.
I don't know.
There was the thing I said. I just like, ooh, Canadian.
I mean, I don't have really technically beef with Canada, but I feel like I don't get Canada.
Is it because of South Park?
I think it is. I think I legitimately, I think it, when I go to, if I ever go to Canada, I'm going to look for people that half their heads come off when they're talking. I truly believe that.
Say a boot.
A boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good day.
I felt like there's really absolutely one road in Canada. It's the only road. Father only road. The only road. Yeah.
And I grew up like 3 hours from the Canadian border.
Mm-hmm.
And
you ever been in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. Nothing like South Park.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I really believe you on that. Canada is one of those mysteries I'm going to have to solve myself.
All right.
I'm going to have to see it. To believe it. And I hate that, but that's where I'm at with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give you a taste of Canada next
week.
All
right.
Strange Brew. So be back for that one. See what old Auntie Lily thinks of that. In the meantime, you should give us a follow. Give us a like, give us a subscribe on all them social media platforms, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the TikTok.
At HSV Home Video.
I love how your eyes roll at just the mere mention of the word TikTok. even if we were going to lunch and you were running late and I tapped my wrist and I said, come on, TikTok, it would trigger you. It would set you off.
It's a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It is a trigger.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to blow TikTok up this week.
Barfaroni. We'll do it. You know what? Because I can't see it.
I know. I know. I know. That's all right, though.
Mm.
And then you should also follow our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, Underboss_photography on all those said social media platforms as well.
Mm-hmm. He's a good man.
He is a good man.
Yeah.
I bet if he did a 60s themed London shoot, I bet he could pull off some good James Bondian type shit.
Yeah.
We also didn't really talk about, there is a lot of James Bond influence in this movie
mm-hmm.
that maybe you didn't pick up on because you've seen like two James Bond movies.
Correct. Only one old one and then Goldeneye.
Yeah.
Goldfinger and Goldeneye. Those are the only two I've seen.
Goldeneye. I bet Michael could pull off some of that suave shit.
I believe it. Have you seen his profile picture? Come on now.
I sure have.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on now. and then, yeah, join us next week, Monday. New episodes drop at 10, usually 10-ish. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later.
What is that in front of you?
What, this?
Yeah.
The Transformer.
It was like an old camera from here.
It's a boombox. It's Soundwave.
Oh, my God damn.
Uh-huh.
Why did you just have a Transformer today? Did you just buy it?
No.
Have you been playing with it today?
No.
No. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. You've been taking it around, and you've been doing photo shoots around town, have you not?
Yes.
You've been putting him in... Why?
Because...
Why?
Because I started an Instagram page for my Transformer collection.
Dork, bro. God, how does it feel to know that I'm the most hood one of the duo? He's gone.
Oh, shit.
He's out. It must not feel good.
I'm so glad we have that on tape. How does it feel to know I am the most hood one of the duo? That sent a missile strike to where I live. Holy fuck.
Do you want...
There are several times in a man's life where he has to reevaluate everything he knows about himself. I think I tore a muscle. Holy shit.
That's the most you've ever reacted to any that I've ever seen.
That's the funniest shit you've ever said.
Thank you.
Yes, I, at 42 years of age, have started an Instagram page where every day I take a picture of a different Transformer. And I brought Soundwave today because he is a boombox, and I was going to photograph him with some of our radio equipment here.
Oh!
And put that up. So thank adorable. You for laughing at my, you know, hobby and my dreams.
Do you want to tell everybody what your Instagram page is? Is it up now? Can I go follow it?
It sure is. It is the Orion Jax, J-A-X, because Optimus, so... Here's the nerd shit behind that.
Oh,
before Optimus Prime becomes Optimus Prime, his name is Orion Pax. My name is Jack. I am Orion Jax, the Orion Jax on Instagram for all of my fucking Transformers.
I can't find you because there's a lot of Jack.
It's
Orion.
Just
Pax.
The Orion J-A-X.
Oh, J-A. Oh, excuse me. I put a formal spelling on that
one.
Because
you see Pax is spelled P-A-X.
Wait a minute. Wait, when did you create this?
A while ago.
You've been living this secret life that I didn't know about because you knew it. Since May 26th.
Yeah.
Because you knew.
I did. I knew that you would take the first opportunity to humiliate me publicly, which you have done. Congratulations.
Alicons assemble.
Fuck yeah, those Alicons are dope. This is good.
Fall of Cybertron, Bruticus.
That was a gift. That was a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. That's worth a lot of money.
Exclusive EVAC.
That was the Universal Studios ride. That's like the character that you ride in, and then you can go buy his toy in the gift shop.
Samurai are the bee's knees.
I fucking hate you.
Robots are the cat's pajamas. Samurai robots are the mutt's nuts. Generations Drift is a killer design.
Hey, what's your Golden Girls themed Instagram page there, Foster?
Sophia's a boss, man. Don't you even try. Don't you even fucking try. No, nice Transformers you got there, bud.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate
you.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do.
I follow you now. I think everybody should follow the Orion Jax, Theorionjax.
Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Always good. Talking shop with you, getting made fun of by you. I'm not gonna lie to you, that shit was fucking funny.
Yay.
You need to splice that up into a little promo so I can put that shit on TikTok. We're gonna get fucking 9,000 followers off that one alone.
That is really good, actually. Oh man, I'm sorry that came out. Actually,
you are more hood than I am. It is official. Until next week, my friends.
I'm so sorry.
Be kind and rewind. I guess I should have said transform and roll out.
Dweeb.